Ezekiel chapter 38. I have here a magazine that came into my wife's possession at the school, and it's called Biblical Worldview. And it seems to be put out by American Vision. You can find them, American Vision. I want to warn those of you who like to read religious material. I want to warn you. You know, there are folks who like to read religious material, get different books and things like that. This advertises all kinds of books. Some of them look pretty good. One of them that we were going through here was a dictionary we thought might be worth getting. But there's all kinds of books in here on biblical kind of things that could interest you if you were to come up. This is, says it's a magazine, I don't know, monthly publication of American Vision, Biblical Worldview. Now, it's always good to know who you're reading and what their spiritual prejudices happen to be. You don't just pick up books and say, hey, you know, that's got a spiritual theme, I'm going to read it and I'm going to believe it. What you want to know is who wrote it and what is their prejudices. Most people have prejudices. There are very few people who say, whatever the Bible says, that's what it means, and that settles it. Even people who say they believe that don't always do that. And so you have to be very careful. You never know what you might come up with. Before I ever purchase a book that I'm going to spend good money on put in my library, I want to know who the author is. And I want to know what his prejudices are. You know, if he comes from a certain denomination, he's prejudiced toward that denomination. If he comes from a certain school, he's prejudiced toward the views of that school. And I want to know before I have someone who would potentially could teach me anything. At any rate, we get lots of stuff in the mail, of course, and this came into Sandra at school. And as soon as I looked at the cover, I was suspicious. Because the cover said, Ezekiel's Magog invasion, future or fulfilled. So as soon as I saw that, I was suspicious right away about how biblical this biblical worldview would be. You see, many people are not really true blue to the Word of God. And I believe that this is definitely one of them. Now, Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39, I have referred to in a study of the book of Daniel. I've taught on it any number of times over the course of years. Ezekiel 38 and 39. It talks about a great battle, a battle of Gog and Magog. All right, verse 2. Son of man, set thy face against Gog in the land of Magog. It talks about this great battle all the way through chapter 38, and then into chapter 39. It's about a great battle. And this article asks the question, is this a battle in the future, or is it fulfilled? All right. I have placed this battle sometime toward the middle of the tribulation, and that's what I taught not that many months ago. I show that this is an important battle because after the battle is over, I believe that Antichrist falsely claims some victory involved in this battle when he declares himself that he is God. And so I place this at future, and future in the tribulation, probably somewhere up into 3 years to 3.5 years into the tribulation, I place this battle. So it is future. That's what I taught not too long ago. It is future. In this particular article, it is an attack against the position that chapter 38 and chapter 39 are future. It's an attack that it's not future, that these two chapters are not future. Now, the author's name is Gary DeMar, and he contends, in this article, he contends with the authors such as Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye. These men, particularly Tim LaHaye, is famous as being the prime mover and maybe even writer of the Left Behind series that talks about a future rapture and then a tribulation that takes place after the rapture. Now, I'm not going to defend LaHaye and Jenkins. Rather, just going to look at the Bible and just look at what the Bible says. Now, here's the basis of why DeMar, the writer of this article, does not think that Ezekiel 38 is future. He writes on the second page of his article, he says, for example, in the 12-page discussion of the battle described in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Jenkins and LaHaye never tell us how they were able to turn horses, war clubs, swords, bows and arrows, spears into warplanes, intercontinental ballistic missiles, nuclear-equipped MiG fighter bombers, and chunks of burning, twisting, molten steel smashing to the ground while maintaining a literal interpretation where every word is to be taken in its primary literal meaning. And so this author, in attacking the future position of this chapter, says that how can these men say that they take the Bible literally and they take these words literally, and then they're making these words turn into be what's not there, intercontinental ballistic missiles and so forth. Now, that sounds like a pretty good argument, doesn't it? Well, let's read the Word of God and see what the Word of God says concerning this battle and the weapons that are used in this battle. So, we're going to look at verse 4 now. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. All right, so the Word of God says that this battle is going to be fought with horsemen, bucklers, and swords. Go to verse 15. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts. Remember, the north parts always going to be north of Israel. Thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. So army is going to be riding on horses. Go to verse 21. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. So they're going to have horses, they're going to have swords. Go to chapter 39 and verse 3. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand and cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. All right, so now it's speaking of bows and arrows. And verse 9, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers and the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. All right, so the Word of God clearly talks about a tremendous invasion here. There's a tremendous invasion against Israel. And the invaders are using at least horses, and they have swords and that type of weapon to fight their war. Now, that's what the Bible says. So, DeMar is asking the question here, is this invasion future from today, of course, future, or has it been fulfilled in the past? That's the question that he asks. And as you read the article, you can see that he's taken the position that the men who say that it's a future battle, you know, that they don't have much credibility because That they're saying we believe every word, we're believing all the words of God, yet the words of God do not show modern warfare, they show ancient warfare. Now, what I am about to do now is I want to show you why I believe DeMar, the author of this article, is far, far off base. All right? Number one, I'm going to give you three reasons. Number one, he does not understand the tribulation. Probably doesn't believe in the tribulation being something that happens in the future. Very important. Probably doesn't believe in the tribulation. Now, if you don't believe in the tribulation, you're dumbfounded about this passage here in Ezekiel. You're going to be dumbfounded about it. You can't explain it. You'd have to explain it away. All right? If you don't believe in the tribulation. Now, I believe that this invasion here, that I believe is future, that these are horses and that they're swords and so forth, and that they're not intercontinental ballistic missiles. I don't confuse a sword with an intercontinental ballistic missile, all right? And so I believe this. I believe it's future, and I believe they're horses, all right? I believe God said they're horses, that they're horses. And I place this event here, at least almost 3 years into the tribulation, maybe more than 3 years into the tribulation, hard to tell. Now, here is what is significant about this, that this author does not even go into address at all. What's significant about this is that in the tribulation, in the beginning of the tribulation, not long after the saved are taken out of the world, the beginning of the tribulation, there is this worldwide, incredible earthquake like the world has never seen before. It's one of three that's going to happen during the tribulation. But it's the first one that I think is very significant. Now, when an earthquake of the magnitude that the Bible describes happens, it can change so many things. And all that has to happen to fulfill this prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 38 is that God's earthquake takes out all the military weapons of the ground forces, like tanks, or cuts off all the oil supplies. You know, you just can't run those tanks and those tracks and those trucks and those Humvees and everything else. You can't run them without oil. You just can't. That's modern warfare. You can't run them without oil. Now, this earthquake that is described here as part of being the tribulation, all it would have to do would say take all of these military installations that are up there in Russia, and that might be over there in Libya. I don't know how many it could be in Libya. And so forth. The earth cracks open. You know, we're all... Yeah, I mean, you've seen military installations where all the tanks are here, you know. And all the trucks are here and so forth. You know, the earth cracks open, they all fall in. And you don't get to have those to use for war, all right? And then there's so much that an earthquake can do. And I want you to look at this earthquake before we come back to Ezekiel chapter 38 in Revelation chapter 6. Now, you should know, and I've taught so many times, that Revelation the chapter 6 is the events that start out the tribulation. So it's in the beginning of the 7-year period that this takes place. And I only want to read to you one verse concerning this earthquake. There's more, but I want to read to you one verse concerning this earthquake. That's verse 14. Revelation 6:14, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. I mean, you can imagine what that's going to be like. But watch this. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. You get that picture of that? You get the mountains of the world being moved out of their places. When God has this earthquake, the mountains are moved out of their places. The islands are moved. We're talking about something of an incredible magnitude here. And when this happens, you know, if an earthquake like this could keep, you know, if you're moving oil by truck, and a truck can't get through. I remember it was, almost 10 years ago when they had that earthquake out in California. You saw some of the roads that just came crashing down. You couldn't go by that. I mean, all an earthquake would have to do would be cut off where no trucks could bring oil through, and if there were pipelines with oil, those are broken open and they can't use that oil. And that just cuts off transportation. You know, it's good we have a promise that we're not appointed unto wrath. It doesn't sound like something you'd want to be around. And now, what about guns? You know, if they're going to ride horses, all right, now they don't have oil to put in the tanks. If they're going to ride horses, why don't they ride horses? Why don't they at least bring the guns? Okay? Well, you know, I can give you an easy answer to that, too. And the easy answer to that is, you know, guns really don't help you much if there isn't any ammunition. If there isn't ammunition, you don't have anything to shoot, it really doesn't help you. And, you know, what could happen? Well, in a previous war, a lot of ammunition could have been used. Or, again, the earth cracks open and the places where to store all the ammunition goes falling, tumbling down into the earth and it's gone. You know, the earthquake answers almost all DeMar's questions. It really does. It changes everything. Now, you know what's interesting here is that both DeMar, the author of this article here, and the editor of this biblical worldview, see? So I'm saying it's not a very biblical worldview after all. But the article, DeMar, who thinks that Ezekiel chapter 38 is not future, and LaHaye, who thinks Ezekiel 38 is not future, both of them assume that the war needs modern equipment. Not something. Both of them assume the same thing. Both of them assume that a war, you know, in a sense. So neither of them really believe the Bible as it's laid out. They really don't. They're going by their preconceived ideas. So LaHaye, who believes it's future, he thinks it can't be horses and swords. It's got to be intercontinental ballistic missiles, and so swords must mean missiles or something like that. You see? Well, you know, that doesn't make sense. So he thinks it's DeMar doesn't think it can be a modern war because of using horses. So, you know, neither one of them totally believe the Word of God. And he's got another objection too. DeMar has another objection is why this cannot be future. All right, and that is, this is what he says. In what modern war can anyone remember armies going after cattle? Now, back in Ezekiel 38, don't turn there yet because they're going to go to Revelation first, okay? In Ezekiel chapter 38, you'll see that they're going to take a spoil. And one of the things that they take and the spoil is cattle. You know, there's gold and other stuff. And cattle, see? And so he asks the question, in what modern war can anyone remember armies going after cattle? All right, so being in World War II or the Korean conflict or Vietnam or whatever happens, you know, Iraq. When did anybody ever say, you know what, we're going to war and we want those guys' cattle? So he's saying, it can't be. He's saying, you know, how can this be future? Because in our times, wars happen, nobody's going after cattle. So, you know, it can't be future because nobody's going after cattle. Well, again, his problem is that he doesn't believe in the tribulation. He doesn't understand the tribulation, and I want to show you that. Again, same chapter, chapter 6, verse 6. All right? And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, essentially, what that means is, you know, that there's not going to be food. There's going to be famine. And just in case you don't think that my understanding of that verse is correct, if you look at the middle of verse 8, it says, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger. All right? People are going to die of starvation in the tribulation. All right? With the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Well, part of the reason the beasts are going to be eating people is because the beasts aren't going to find enough food either. So there's going to be terrible famine in the beginning of the tribulation. And if there's terrible famine, do you think a nation might say, oh, look at this. Down there in Israel, they got some cattle. You know? And we're going to be starved to death if we don't go get the cattle. So that answers his objection completely. Why Damar is far, far off base. Number one, he fails to understand the tribulation. Probably doesn't believe in the tribulation. Number two, he ignores future references. I read this article very carefully. All right, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 8. I read it very carefully. And in it, he did not refer to anything in Ezekiel 38 or 39 that sounded like it said that this would happen in the future. Ezekiel 38, 8. And after many days thou shalt be visited, watch this, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. All right, what does the Lord say here? He says that this battle is going to take place after many days in the latter years. Now, this sounds like quite a while from Ezekiel's day. And Ezekiel is writing this a little less than 600 years before Jesus was born. And we essentially know what kind of battles have taken place from that time on. All right? But the verse says, in the latter years. Okay? And when their people are brought back, well, they became a nation in 1948. And it also says, and when they shall dwell safely, all of them. Now, they haven't dwelt safely since they've been back in the land. They declared as a nation in May of 1948. I can't remember whether it was May 5th. I'm not exactly sure what the date was. They declared as a nation, the first time they were a nation since Ezekiel's day. Okay, they were back in the land when Jesus was there, but they were all under Roman rule. So they came back from other nations, and they became a nation in 1948. I think it was May 5th. It was on May 5th. It was probably on May 6th that a war broke out. All right. So they haven't been dwelling safely since the day they became a nation. So when are they going to dwell in safety according to the Word of God? You should know the answer to this. You know, maybe it's midweek and your thinker isn't working too good, but you know in Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks of Daniel, What is the beginning of the last 7 years, which is the tribulation? What is the beginning of it? When Antichrist makes a covenant with them, and the covenant is that they will peace and have worship, and that they will be dwelling in safety. Right. So that's referenced here in this chapter. Right? So Damar is really far, far off base. Number one, he fails to understand the tribulation, probably doesn't believe in it. Number two, he ignores the future references that are here. And then number three is this invasion. It never happened. Okay? It never happened. Remember, this article says Magog invasion, future or fulfilled. So he puts the kibosh on future, right? Well, if it was fulfilled, it had to happen. It hasn't happened. I remember, now we're talking about from Ezekiel's day when he wrote these things down, you know, a little less than 600 years before Jesus came to this earth. He said there was this going to be this battle, and this battle has never happened. Now, the Bible is not imaginary. To a lot of people, I guess it is. You see, the Bible is real. It's about real things. It's about real events that really happened, or real events that are going to happen. And this never happened. So, how can it be fulfilled if it never happened? Now, I'm reading this article, say, and it says future or fulfilled. And he makes the case here that it can't be future for reasons I already showed you. And I see those arguments based on somebody else's wild guesses more than based on what the Bible said. And so I am waiting to see that he proves that this is fulfilled. In fact, I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see how he says that this was fulfilled since the day of Ezekiel up until today. I just can't wait to see what he's going to say, how this battle was fulfilled. But even though it's part of the title, fulfilled, he never ever in any way addresses how it was fulfilled at all. He says this, the battle in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is clearly an ancient one, and then he hedges. Or at least one fought with ancient weapons. But the article is future or fulfilled. And so, he's only given two options there. I have another option, all right? I have another option. It's not the right option. But I have another option, and the other option is spiritualize the whole thing. Say, this isn't really about horses. Horses represent the evil in man, okay? This isn't really about swords. You know, swords represent, you know, whatever man uses to hurt somebody else, you see. And it's not really about a real battle, see. That's what a lot of people do with the Bible. We don't do that with the Bible because we say if the Bible says it, it means it. It means what it says. But this has never been fulfilled. Now, I can tell you how easy it is to tell it's never been fulfilled. All right? And I'm going to show it to you from verses here. All right? Ezekiel 38:2 says, Son of man, set thy face against Gog in the land of Magog. If you trace the table of nations, you know that this is Russia. All right? Now go down to verse 5. Who's along with Russia? Well, you got Persia. That's Iran. Okay? They changed the name within the last 100 years to Iran. Persia. Ethiopia is a country there in Africa. Libya, country in Africa that President Reagan put out a commission when they threatened us. All right? Libya. Gomer. Togarmah from the North Quarters. And so forth. So, you have Russia up here, and then you got Persia for you out here, and then you got some in Africa down here, and they make this big alliance. There's never been that alliance that came against Israel. All right? It's never happened. There's never been that alliance. Nations are named, and these nations never were aligned together to make an invasion of Israel on horses with swords, okay? Or any other way. Nor, watch this, go to verse 20. The middle, so for time's sake. And all men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, all right? This is what happens during this invasion. And the mountains shall be thrown down. There's never been a battle in which the mountains were thrown down over there in Israel when they invaded Israel. All right? It's never happened. Verse 22, and I'll plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands, upon many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. There's never been a battle in Israel. Don't you think that if this battle had taken place after Ezekiel's day, that it would have gone down in history as one of the most incredible battles in the history of mankind? Of course. You know, mountains being thrown down and hailstones and fire and brimstone. All right. Verse 23, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That hasn't happened either, has it? That hasn't happened. Still future. Go to verse 2 of chapter 39. And I'll turn thee back and leave but part, the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. It says, he's going to leave the sixth part. And so they're going to be decimated. Five-sixths of it going to be decimated. If it hasn't happened, there's two other options left. It's either future or it's a wild imagination. You know, to say it means something else. So, it was a whole lot easier to prove Damar wrong than you would think, because, number one, he fails to understand the tribulation, and that men might go to battle with horses because they don't have the other stuff. And number two, he ignores the future references that it's in the latter days. And number three, it never happened in the past, so that would leave the future. So beware of Gary DeMar and anything he writes, because he and some of the other ones in here, and I think I want to address some of these other things next time around, but there's Gary North, there's a well-known writer, and he has some articles in here. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. And then Gary DeMar is going to have a magnificent Hawaiian Islands cruise in June. I do not want you to go on that cruise. There are other ways you could enjoy your money than that cruise. And I'll tell you who's going to be on that cruise with DeMar is a guy whose face is on TV all the time, and that's the bishop down there in Florida, Kennedy. James Kennedy, you've heard of him. He's always teaching on what's wrong with America, and I think next time I'm going to show you why and what's behind all of that kind of thing. But this is a people who obviously have cut out great sections of the Word of God, and beware of their writings. You don't want to get mixed up with them or with their teachings. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray that these warnings are sufficient to alert the people of God to put more faith in the reading of the Word of God than in the books propose some unusual solutions to their own problems rather than simple belief in the Word of God. We pray thy blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.